When one recognises that the owner of a sporting pub with a well-attended rat pit might buy 2,000 rats a week, and a good country rat could fetch as much as a shilling, it was not surprising that many individuals made a living as rat catchers. The most famous was Black Jack Hansen, who went about in a hearse-like wagon, offering to rid fashionable mansions of pests for absurdly low rates, so long as he could take the critters live. There's no good explanation for why Victorians at all levels of society looked away from the sport of ratting, but they were conveniently blind. Most humane writing of the period deplores and condemns cockfighting, which was already very rare, without mentioning dog sports at all. Nor is there any indication that reputable gentlemen felt any unease at participating in ratting sports, for these gentlemen considered themselves staunch supporters of the destruction of vermin, and nothing more. One such staunch supporter, Mr. T, retired to the downstairs rooms of the Queen's Head pub, which was now virtually deserted. Signalling the solitary barman, he called for a glass of gin for himself and some peppermint for his fancy. Mr. T was in the process of washing his dog's mouth out with peppermint to prevent canker, when the red-bearded gentleman came downstairs and said, "May I join you for a glass?" "By all means," Mr. T said, continuing to minister to his dog. Upstairs, the sound of stomping feet and shouting indicated the beginning of another episode of the destruction of vermin. The red-bearded stranger had to shout over the din. "I perceive you are a gentleman of sporting instinct," he said. "And unlucky," Mr. T said equally loudly. He stroked his dog. "Lover was not at her best this evening. When she's in a state, there's nothing to match her, but at times she lacks bustle." Mr. T sighed regretfully. "Tonight was such a one." He ran his hands over the dog's body, probing for deep bites, and wiped the blood of several cuts from his fingers with his handkerchief. "But she came off well enough. My lover will fight again."
"Indeed," the red-bearded man said, "and I shall wager upon her again when she does."
Mr. T showed a trace of concern. "Did you lose?"
"A trifle. 10 guineas, it was nothing."
Mr. T was a conservative man, and well enough off, but not disposed to think of 10 guineas as a trifle. He looked again at his drinking companion, noticing the fine cut of his coat and the excellent white silk of his neckcloth.